There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Chris Rutkowski joins us this week, and we had a question from Randall, Ufology on the Table. And we have other questions from our listeners. If you go to forum.theparacast.com, you can check out the question bank where you can ask those questions. Chris, what's your response?
Does the public seem to be accepting alien visitations now as opposed to other times in history? I would say, boy, you know, in the 50s, the contactee phenomenon was really, really big, and they had a lot of following. That's when Giant Rock was really in its real heyday, that, you know, people were talking about visiting Venus, and it was sort of accepted that, you know, yeah, contactees are visiting Venus. And this was when Adamski was getting close-up photographs of flying saucers and whatnot. And that was, you know, really well accepted. In fact, that's where the current ideas of aliens and flying saucers really came from. And that's how, you know, the fanciful notions really developed during that time. And we're still suffering because of a lot of that right now. And now, I mean, we have, you know, I would argue that the abductee phenomenon has morphed back into contacteeism, where people are talking about contact with aliens who are, you know, walking into bodies and telepathically talking to us, where there's a lot of channeling of information. The channeling has been going on for quite some time over the past 75 years, but it seems to be really accepted now. I would say that overall, again, because of this metamodernism that I sort of started talking about, there's an acceptance that anything goes, that the alien visitations of contactees are as good as more nuts and bolts UFO sightings. In fact, some writers are saying we don't even need to record UFO sightings anymore, because we have the testimony of abductees and contactees that the aliens are really here. So I would say in pop culture, perhaps alien visitation is sort of assumed, whereas during a period, let's say, between the 60s to the 80s, there was an attempt to do more nuts and bolts ufology. But also during that time, we sort of got the John Keel, Jacques Vallée period of ultra-terrestrials, too. So I certainly think it's gone through some waves, and I don't see any particular trend other than the meta-modernistic view of ufology right now is that anything goes. Anyone can say and be an expert on anything, because who's going to contest it?
What do you think about these recent articles that have come out touting scientists at the University of California coming up with a hypothesis that suggests that space aliens have long settled on Earth and actually are living among us as observers? I guess this movement began around 2000. The whole thing was spearheaded by the work of Professor Jonathan Malcolmson. What do you think of that?
Well, it actually goes back much further than that. Stranger at the Pentagon was written back in the...
Well, true. Frank Strange's, yeah.
Of course, 70s or 60s or something. Yeah, I mean, that's been going around for quite some time now.
But scientists haven't gotten together and put their, you know, name on a theory like this. That's fairly unusual.
Well, yes and no. I mean, certainly scientists and people in professional standing and good standing have been making claims for quite some time. I mean, Edgar Mitchell just made the news again recently,
right?
Because of something very similar, that, you know, he has inside sources who told him that the aliens really are here and prevented Earth from turning into nuclear war and whatever. But, you know, he's just listening to whoever is telling him these things, and it could be anybody.
The other question is here, are they telling the people in the U.S. Congress to approve the deal with Iran over nuclear weapons?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who's telling them that? Exactly.
It appears that someone's telling them not to approve the deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's certainly factions all over the place that, you know, people are claiming to be experts in you know, politics, democracy, and the Middle East, and they're tying it all into ufology. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, because people are getting a little more, I don't know, personally interested. They're becoming more activist. They're concerned about what's happening all around the world. They're concerned about climate change. They're concerned personally about violence and nuclear war and ISIS and everything. And they really want to do something and feeling powerless about it. So they actually are lobbying governments, and they will do anything to get the ear of government representatives. And there are a number of government representatives who are sympathetic to the UFO question. You know, one can point to John Podesta, for example, and others. So I think it's an interesting way of getting people in positions of power to take notice of some of the more fanciful ideas, because they're, you know, at the, you know, when you pull away all the nonsense, there is a serious aspect to this. You know, we should stop proliferation of nuclear weapons. We should, you know, try and get some control on, you know, a little more resolving conflict and that type of thing. And if the reason is because, you know, if we ever do go into space, what would aliens think? I mean, there's some serious implications here. So it is important to do that. And, you know, whether it's because the aliens are out there and don't want us to, you know, join the Galactic Club without resolving it, or simply to, you know, keep the human race from, you know, not blowing itself up, there are some good reasons for doing that. And I wouldn't be surprised if this continues, you know, more and more.
Well, the emphasis has been, especially in the past 10 years, but certainly back to the days of the Vietnam War, where if there's a problem, we send troops out to fight that problem rather than resolve it in some diplomatic way. And at the end of the day, they always make it worse, not just the troops who are killed or the troops who are injured, but all the side effects. This is why we have all the big argument right now over ISIS being an artifact of what we created when we went to war with Iraq, an undeclared war against a country that had no intent of attacking us. And we can argue the basis for that war one way or the other. But changing that philosophy, instead of going to war, going to talk, and seeing how that works for a change, can certainly help. But we can't say that ET is pushing us in that direction. Although at the end of the day, if we don't get together, there's not going to be an Earth to visit.
True. Oddly enough, tomorrow I'm speaking at a premiere of a 360-degree film by Rod Roddenberry, I guess Roddenberry's son, by the I guess his foundation or whatever. It's called White Room, and it's a thriller. I'll give a spoiler, because it has to do with are humans really ready to join the Galactic Club or not? Are we too bent on violence and conflict, or are we, you know, leaning towards rational discussion and resolution?
Is that a rhetorical question, or do you really?
that's the premise of the film that's being premiered tomorrow. I've actually already seen it, and I don't want to give too much away, but that's the theme.
Well, if anybody thinks we're ready to join the Galactic Neighborhood, I'm not sure. I think we're probably locked in our little sandbox here, and we've got to learn to play nicely with each other before we're going to be allowed to, you know, get out there and co-mingle with the rest of the Galactic Neighborhood.
Right, and of course that was the theme of the contactees of the 50s too. You know, stop nuclear war, love each other, put down your weapons, you know, be nice to the environment and all that sort of stuff. And that's being echoed now, 60 years later, by the present-day abductees. And that's why I'm not all that impressed with a lot of what's going on in abduction research right now, because it's the same rhetoric that I've heard for many decades now.
Yeah.
And by the way, the thing that always reminds me of the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original version, 1951, where Klaatu, E.T., comes down here and says, "Get your acts together, Earth people, or we'll take you down."
Yeah.
And that message was distilled among the contactees. The contactees were very, very heavily influenced by that film, even to the silvery uniform worn by the tall, godlike alien beings. Michael Rennie, godlike, I don't know. Chris Rutkowski is here this week with Gene and KK. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. ExtendoVite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government? Be truly independent. Visit LibertyOnCall.org. LibertyOnCall.org is a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care. Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. LibertyOnCall.org. Call today.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guys, I'm so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're thinking here of hiring Mr. Rutkowski to be one of our staff announcers. Of course, he'll get the same pay as our other staff announcer, Bob Zanotti, which means in that case that I wouldn't hope to pay for the next Starbucks coffee with it.
All right.
We're exploring here all aspects of UFOs and related research, abductions, the alleged messages that E.T. purportedly presents to us of peace and brotherhood. But it would seem to me here that if E.T. is all-powerful and can get here from 2,000 light-years away or whatever, can't they enforce peace upon us if it's really something that's going to endanger this planet, if they care?
Well, I have no idea. In fact, this is one of the biggest themes in ufology and science fiction alike. What is the intent of aliens if some of them are out there at all? I mean, do we really have a prime directive where you're not supposed to interfere? And if you're not supposed to interfere, then what do you make of abductions and showing yourselves, as you dig up, lavender fields in France and whatnot? I mean, there's a whole series of questions around that. I mean, are we, anthropological experiments from Zeta Reticuli, from grad students, or are we, really interpreting things purely through a terrestrial lens that we're really misinterpreting what's really going on? And I don't know. I mean, I would have no idea what the intent of aliens really might be, because by definition they're alien. One would think that there would be some desire for self-preservation on the side of aliens, so that would argue against contact. Exploration, well, if you've come here from out there, one would assume that you could do it remotely using robots and whatnot. Would we necessarily need direct contact? I don't see how. I mean, aliens working within our government or, in secret bases, that sounds a lot like what we see in Star Trek episodes and so forth. So it sounds more like a terrestrial interpretation of what aliens might be thinking like or acting like. I don't know what an alien would be like because I haven't met one yet. Although some of the people I work with, that's neither here nor there.
I always liked Terrence McKenna's idea that if aliens were actually here, they probably would hide within the spores of a cubensis mushroom and over, thousands and tens of thousands of years slowly help sort of micromanage, in some sense of the word, but manage the growth of our brains and the instilling psychedelic experiences to help expand our conscious and our awareness, and that if there was any aliens on the planet, according to McKenna, that would be the way that they would try to influence us, as opposed to coming down and not having spacesuits on and asking to take me to your leader, that sort of outmoded 50s style and very new agey style now, that sort of inclination of people to think that that's got to be the way that this sort of contact is going to take place. Just go to Project Camelot or to Alfred Weber's Exopolitics website and read about the latest whistleblower who's come forward with the latest Project Serpos type story. To me, it is so ludicrous what people and millions of people are buying into this. It's really frightening to me that people have, what's the term? They suspended their disbelief. I mean, it conforms with their hopes, wishes, and aspirations or fears and paranoia, depending on the bent. You just have a complete lack of, just fully conscious, objective, rational thinking.
Well, like I said, metamodernism, that's, anything goes. And it's being accepted.
Well, that's one of the problems we have, of course, with journalism today. We assume there are always two sides that are treated equally. So if we get one story, we have to go to the other side, and their story may be total nonsense. Obvious nonsense, but we have to take it anyway and give it equal weight.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And there are situations, of course, where there may be two sides to the story, but one side is less credible. In the case of, a violent incident, let's say a rape or something like that, there are two sides to that because there's two persons involved. But one is a violent act perpetuated on another person. And, one is clearly in the wrong, and regardless of circumstances, that is simply inexcusable. So,
Judge, she wanted it. I swear to God, she wanted it.
Yeah, there are two sides, but, do you really want to hear the other side?
Well, we have a certain cable TV network in the U.S. that will frequently try to present the possibility that the female of the species faked it. It didn't really happen. She faked it, or again, she wanted it. She deliberately tried to get that guy in trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, it's why the spin actually exists, and certainly lawyers can use this to their advantage. And yes, we are getting a little away from the UFO question, but it is true that in ufology, anything goes, and people can come up with some very outlandish explanations, and nobody's challenging them because. Sometimes it takes too much effort to contradict or to come up with explanations. And sometimes it just leads you down paths that you really don't need to go down. And it really can cause a lot of problems.
This may be a good place to go into a question from one of our posters at forum.theparacast.com. We're at the question bank. You can ask questions of our guests. And this comes from Sentry. Long-time poster.
Let me just explain to our listeners, that's Kurt Collins.
Yes. He doesn't ask many questions, but when he does, they're good ones.
Okay.
And he has more likes than he has posts, so that's always a good sign. Most paranormal encounters from Bigfoot to religious aberrations leave us with nothing but quote-unquote sightings. Some suggest these experiences share a common stimulus or trigger, but are interpreted differently by each individual. If most of it is in our heads, what do you think is putting it there?
We have 1 minute for your response. We can continue the next segment. Go ahead.
Sure. I mean, Kurt's asked a really good question there, and it goes back to what Miguel had asked originally. That are there commonalities, and are these commonalities based in something else? I think the human mind is. Capable of a lot of interesting things, and I think it certainly is capable of generating images that can be interpreted in so many ways by different people. I think that human creativity is really underrated. I think, people have come up with some really fantastic, wild ideas. Einsteins are out there all over the place. They just have to be realized and tapped into. So I think that the triggers and the stimuli can produce different things. But, if something leaves behind hard evidence, those are what we're looking for. And whether it's Bigfoot or a religious visitation or UFOs, I think those are what we have to concentrate on. But what's putting it there in the original form? Well, Persinger would say it's caused by electromagnetic radiation. Ufologists might say it's aliens, religious apparition.
Find out what the other answer is in a moment. Chris Rutkowski is here with Gene. NKK, you're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tab or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
What color are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Chris Rutkowski, would you continue your answer, please?
Sure. The third one would be that someone from a religious bent would interpret it as a spiritual intervention of some sort, possibly manifesting, bleeding crucifixes and all that sort of thing. So, you know, there's some attempt to get some documentation and some physical evidence regarding some of these things, but there always is some sort of physical stimulus as well. So there is always a physical stimuli. It's our minds that interpret them in one way or another. And whether they're UFOs or aliens or a religious apparition, it really depends on the person's viewpoint. What gets really confusing is when an abductee or contactee is very religious and then will interpret what is ostensibly an abduction experience as a religious experience. And the opposite sometimes occurs as well. So it's interesting to get these crossovers, but the ultimate question is, did it physically really happen, or is it happening, only in the mind in the sense that there was a very prosaic event, you know, a coincidence of some sort, the apple falling from the tree and interpreted as caused by aliens, Jesus, or a Bigfoot?
Well, the question would be then, is that interpretation, Bigfoot, the ghosts, E.T., whatever, that's our take on it.
That is our take on it. The question, I would still say, but did it really happen at all? You know, that gets into the real nitty-gritty. Did the apple really fall? Was it always on the ground and we only thought that it fell? There's a lot of ways that you can dissect this, and it's not debunking in the sense. We just want to know what really happened, and that those, some of those questions are very, very tricky and can be very uncomfortable.
Now, this is interesting here. I'm just noticing something on your site, Ufology Research.
Okay.
What are the good questions in ufology? I'm going to read one.
Okay.
Okay, you explain where this comes from. I'm just going to read the last one, number 41.
Okay.
Is Nick Redfern actually an alien? And I don't just mean that he's from Great Britain.
Exactly. Well, High Strangeness, another blog, posted a number of questions for a different podcast. And
there are a few others we don't mention.
There are a few others, you know, to aid in the debate rather than in the forums that you have, produced a series of questions, and there were 20 produced by Mark, and then the people who are reading the blogs added a bunch more. This was one that was added by one of the blog readers and commenters. And I mean, I like Nick. I've met him. I think that was a reaction from someone who thought that Nick was getting a little too far afield in some of his theories and beliefs. And, you know, to me, it's all in the interpretation, isn't it?
I want to read another one. Okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Should the three strikes you're out rule apply to Roswell smoking guns?
Ooh. Well, that's a good one.
I think it should be two strikes myself.
Well, then we're past it right now. That's it.
Yeah, we're past that. I mean, people want to know, is Roswell real? Did Roswell really happen? From time to time, we get people promoting videos and card out witnesses and eyewitnesses and sons and daughters and grandchildren of eyewitnesses. And, you know, now with the slides, is it possible to get beyond all this? And I had a chat with Stan Friedman about this. And I'm arguing that if there was any real evidence, let's say documents, you know, attesting to the reality that something really did crash at Roswell, after all the years that have been going on, I think those documents would be long since destroyed. I don't think that there would be any evidence left. I think if there were pieces picked up, those pieces would be locked away, not at Area 51, not at Hangar 1 or 17 or whatever.
Not at Montauk Point.
Certainly not at Montauk, and you wouldn't have an alien on display in a glass case in a museum.
On top of an army blanket.
On top of an army blanket. That's simply not how it would happen.
But is George Adamski really a distant relative of Billy Meyer?
Well, define relative, I mean, I suppose. There's certainly a lot of relation between the early contactees and the more modern contactees. Certainly in some of the ways that Billy Meyer was, you know, showing off some of the photos of dinosaurs and whatever that he took when he was taken to another dimension and whatnot are very similar to what Adamski was doing. So I would say there's a lot of similarity between what Adamski was hawking and what Meyer was claiming. To this day, there are Adamski supporters and there are Meyer supporters. So there's a lot of parallels in the religiosity of ufology. And that's a topic all to its own as well.
Let's continue with the questions, please.
Hit me.
Don't tempt me.
Well, we've got quite a few questions, Chris. And this one comes from Bluto392, who posted this at a question bank at forum.theparacast.com. And this is an interesting kind of juxtaposition in thinking. And he wonders if it's possible that whatever is behind this phenomena, I think these phenomena, may be fumbling around in the dark as much as we are, but somehow they've stumbled upon us instead of the other way around. Could UFOs, abductions, MIBs, even odd reports and old reports of fairy folk or ghosts be their attempts to be heard, but they just can't figure us out enough to effectively speak with us? Could it be constructive to consider ways in which other species might try to communicate and then try to communicate, make an effort to communicate with them and meet them halfway? I remember Jacques Vallée said something that really kind of made me sit up and take notice. He said, this all seems very, it's almost like a program, the way this whole, these whole encounters and waves of sightings, they seem to be some sort of control mechanism or some sort of software program. And he said, if it is that, couldn't we interject something into the code? Some sort of, prearranged, I forget what his analogy was or his example was, but is there a way for us to, number one, ever decipher these communications? And if so, is there a way that we can meet them halfway? I think it's a good question.
Yeah, and, you know, this goes back to the question of what aliens would be like. Like, how would they communicate with us? Would they want to communicate with us? You know, what intentions might there be? You know, there's what is it? Sirens of Titan, where alien who had crashed a spacecraft on Titan or somewhere out there many thousands of years ago needed a part, a replacement part for his spacecraft. And so he gently guided the Neanderthals on Earth to develop a civilization to the point where humans develop space travel, and space travel eventually reaches Titan and discover him in a spacecraft. And onboard the spacecraft is the essential part of the spacecraft that he needed us to develop, which turned out to be a can opener. You know, is there, you know, what would be the purpose of communicating? And would
that sounds like a Rod Serling episode.
Yeah. Would we recognize communication? And then this goes back to a lot of the first contact scenarios. Would there, you know, if there is a prime directive and we're under observation, would they subtly try to contact us? Would they try to keep us from blowing ourselves up by, you know, having a power failure just as the nuclear missiles were about to be launched? You know, as Sala's talking about these days, you know, are there other ways of intervening? You know, I don't, you know, maybe they can't figure us out. Maybe we're so bizarre, we are so primitive that they're worried about us making inroads into the cosmic neighborhood. You know, these are wonderful concepts that have been talked about and hashed around so many times in science fiction. Again, you know, we don't know what aliens really are like, what the motivation for contact with us would be. You know, some would argue that they really have no reason to contact us. Arthur C. Clarke's Rendezvous with Rama series, you know.
Let's go into what that means in a moment, okay?
Sure.
The motivations of aliens. Chris Rutkowski with Gene and KK, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle, now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to OneSilverSolution.com, OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Do you owe the IRS money? Has the IRS garnished your wages or put a lien against your house? The IRS has the power to make you pay back what they claim you owe and will stop at nothing to collect. There is a solution. Call Signature Tax now. Speak with our professionals and feel the weight of your tax burden lifted from your shoulders. Call now for your free and confidential analysis. 800-481-3147. Again, that's 800-481-3147. 800-481-3147.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Honey, why are there fish swimming in our bathtub?
Aren't they cute? You need more omega-3s, and those fish oil pills with toxins and heavy metals are scary. So I'm making fish oil from scratch.
Oh boy, didn't I tell you I'm ordering Nutrigold fish oil? It's exceptionally pure.
That's what they all say.
No, really. Nutrigold's fish oil is concentrated from pure cold water fish straight off the Alaskan coast and manufactured right here in the USA.
Well, cold Alaskan waters are much more pristine than the polluted waters that other fish oils are sourced from.
That's what I'm saying. And it's five-star certified to meet international purity, potency, and freshness standards.
Well, that sounds even better.
Great. I'll be in my office ordering a few bottles. If I order now on www.fishoil.best, I can save $5 using the promo code MyFishOil. Honey, why are there bees in my office?
Get rid of those fish burps for good. Go to Nutrigold's U.S.-made fish oil products by going to www.fishoil.bet and get $5 off by entering MyFishOil at checkout.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey System. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Is it the Paracast? Chris O'Brien becomes KK for this episode, known by his real name, because Chris Rutkowski is here. We don't want any confusion. We're talking about alien motivations. And we look at aliens or possible alien life in terms of what we do, or in terms of Star Trek. You know, we don't think that alien means they have motivations we can't even begin to understand.
Well, maybe aliens actually talk out their butts and they're anal probing us to figure out why we don't.
Well, of course, if you're a politician, you do.
Well, as I start my lectures sometime by saying I know for a fact that aliens have come down to Earth, have taken over the minds and bodies of humans, and are among us every day. Otherwise, how can you explain politicians? So, you know, we don't know. And some have argued that the aliens are here already. And I think, as KK mentioned, you know, maybe they are microscopic. Maybe, there's some manipulation of DNA. Maybe there are some remnants of an alien contact from hundreds of thousands of years ago in our DNA. And that's why we are the way we are ourselves. There's so many factors, and it's amazing to speculate. And I think the thing is, we simply don't know until that moment. And, you know, maybe we're getting closer and closer to that moment. I mean, I've been predicting for a couple of years now that we're not that far away from discovering a really Earth-like planet. I mean, we're really close with this latest one, Kepler 572 or whatever it is, that is not much bigger than Earth and in the Goldilocks zone where it's, where there's liquid water on the planet and so forth. And it's, still 100 light years away or something. So we're getting closer. But, we're really not that far away from discovering aliens or a possible alien planet not far away from us within communication range. And, you know, when that happens, you know, maybe, you know, that will lead to actual communication with aliens, whatever they might be like. And maybe they're a lot like us and simply can't get off their planet because of political reasons or energy constraints or the will to do so. Maybe they're more advanced than us. Maybe they're less advanced. But the point is, it would signal a real change in who we are, that we're no longer a series of warring tribal factions on the surface of this rocky planet orbiting Sol. We would represent a civilization that needed to speak as one and to work as one, because it would be us against them, and who knows what that them really would be like.
Also, do you ever think of another possibility that occurs to me sometimes? When people remember or think they've had an abduction, they are remembering how the human race was created. It's part of our racial memory that we were part of a hybrid race, or are the hybrid race created by aliens thousands of years ago.
Well, you know, again, anything is possible to conceive of. I don't know if the detail of our racial memory would be that, you know, that intense like that. But it's possible that our brains are hotwired for such a thing, and that is what we are sensing and experiencing during an abduction, a contact with something, a contact with something that's unfamiliar, and that brings up these images that are hotwired into us.
Well, it's a thought here. The question is the reality of what we see.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's, what is it that we really are experiencing? Are we really seeing things the way they are, or are we interpreting things the way they are? It's just that the other thing that can be said is that, reality isn't an illusion. It just seems that way.
KK, some more questions, please.
Okay, this one comes from another Canuck, Robert, our esteemed Burnt State, who has recently passed the 3,600 postmark, and he has 3,700, almost 3,800 likes.
And wait till you see what he does tomorrow.
Okay. He points out something that's interesting, and it's he says, you often highlight, Chris, extraordinary cases with UFOs that appear to be electric in their strange shapes and forms, and with so many compelling non-traditional examples in the history of ufology, does this make the phenomenon just more multifaceted with many possible answers, or does it make you more suspicious that a single source may be responsible?
Well, this goes back to our interpretation. One of the big problems we have when we're analyzing UFO reports and data is the shape. Something as simple as asking a witness what the shape is. And some will say round, or some will say circular. And that doesn't mean anything. When I say round, you mean like a ball? No, I mean like a plate. Well, that's not round. That's flat. And also when a person sees, a disc, you usually don't actually see a disc. You'll either see a circle if the disc is flipped on its edge and facing you, looking, towards the center of the plate, or on its edge, you would see a line, in which case it would appear to be a rod or a cigar. And so something as simple as a shape of a UFO, even football shapes, and what's a disc at an oblique angle. I mean, something as simple as that makes us suspicious that maybe there is just one shape of a UFO, and maybe all the other interpretations are just variations.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Ray Stanford has kind of hinted around to me. I don't normally talk about Ray's analysis on the show, and I promised I wouldn't bring it up again. But I really want to emphasize this point, that he is convinced that there really are no discs as described by witnesses. These objects are spinning, and he thinks they're polygonal, that they have multiple sides, that when you spin them, they appear to be round. And he's, done some work on high-speed still frame images that seem to suggest that we're dealing with multi-sided objects that are in a rough circular pattern. But when they're spun, if they're spinning, the sides kind of blur into a circular shape, which, would make some sense. And if that's the case, then possibly your observation here that we may be misinterpreting based on our, limited ability to ascertain visually something high strange that we're looking at that's outside of our realm of understanding, that maybe we're just our primal sort of modus operandi of describing our experience. It tends to adhere to what are common descriptions of these objects in terms of their circular nature. I think more work needs to be done in this regard, and another question that's been brought up is, you know, this one comes from Technomage, who comes out of the woodwork for a good guest like you. And he says, since Canada seems to be a hotbed of UFO activity, doesn't it make sense to find one or two hotspots up there and start a camera project to get some hard evidence? And he uses the example of my San Luis Valley project that I'm currently underway of attempting to have a triangulated camera array in the San Luis Valley in Colorado. Do you think that that would make sense to identify some hotspot areas, possibly on the lake there in Ontario? There's some places in BC that tend to have ebb-and-flowing waves of activity. Do you think that would be a possible effective way of possibly taking this to the next level in terms of hard science?
Well, yeah, and there's two sides of that, of course. That Canada does seem to be a hotbed of UFO activity in the sense that we have 1,200 cases, between 1,200 and I forget what the other data shows right now, but, you know, more than 1,000 cases every year. But that's 1,000 cases across the entire country in a year that are being reported. And, you know, Canada's a pretty big country. So to pick one particular spot, even statistically of that, you'd be waiting a long time for that one particular case to come across. However, you're right about on the lake. As a matter of fact, Jennifer Jarvis has something called Orb Watch, and she sets up on the the south side of Lake Ontario, just to the west of Buffalo. And she's been, making video records of things over the lake for quite some time. So there is a lot of that going on already. And unfortunately, what she's getting seems to be a lot of aircraft because she's looking directly towards the Toronto airport and some boats on the water and things like that. But it does make sense to use camera projects to, you know, look at some hard evidence, to try and get some photographic evidence. Of course, I mean, Hestelin has, they've had cameras set up for quite some time, for decades now, and it's only recently that they're starting to get some decent results coming out of Norway there.
Let's get into more of this in our next segment with Chris Rutkowski. NKK and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you'll...